If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight we're going to continue our series on sound doctrine. My subject tonight, the Holy Scriptures. I love this confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. The Holy Scriptures, known as the Holy Bible, it gives us the complete and full revelation of man's history and his redemption. The Bible is the story of salvation. It is the story of redemption. It is a story of life, of peace, and of joy. It is a guide for earthly living, and the Bible is a roadmap to eternal salvation. It is in the Holy Scriptures that we find the answer to life and to eternity. And it's important that you know from the Scriptures what you believe and why you believe it. And so one of the greatest needs in the church today is to come back to the Bible as the basis of authority and truth. And so many people, they have a false notion that the Bible is old and is outdated, and that something as old as the Bible cannot speak to the needs of modern man. But the Bible is relevant to every generation. It's just as up to date as this morning's newspaper, because God is a generational God. And the good news is God loves you, God loves me, and God is concerned about your every need. Not just you getting to heaven, God is concerned about your every need. And people need to become students of the Word, because it's in the Scriptures that we find the revelational knowledge of who we are in Christ and what he has done for us. Now, Paul, in writing to young Timothy, his son in the Lord, he gives him the following instruction, 2 Timothy 4 and 2. I love this because I'm a preacher. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, look at this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul said doctrine's important. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teaching, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Have you ever seen a time when people are so confused as they are in the day and age in which we live? God help us. So tonight I want us to continue the series on sound doctrine. And in this study, we've been reviewing the 14 articles of faith of the International Pentecost Holiness Church. We are part of that organization. And I did not start studying the Bible or our doctrine to prove that our doctrine is right. I started studying the Scriptures and comparing our doctrine to the Scriptures to prove that our doctrine is right. Some people, they get all mixed up. They get the cart before the horse. I'll never forget someone that told me, said, well, you know that the Bible says that sanctification is a second definite work of grace. I said, no, the Bible doesn't say that. Your doctrine says that. Now, the principle is there, but the Bible does not say that. So we need to know why we believe what we believe from the Scriptures. Your doctrine may be right. Your doctrine may be wrong. And that's a lot of traditions and a lot of things. I sat with a Baptist preacher today planning some things, and he said, I have the Holy Ghost. I said, yes, you do. I said, when I got saved, I realized that I had the witness of the Spirit. I said, and I was taught that only the Pentecostal had the Holy Ghost. I said, but when I read Romans 8:16, put Romans 8:16 up there, brother. When I read Romans 8:16, I realized that if you've ever been born again, you have the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. That's what the Bible says. But look at this. It said, for the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. When you got saved, before you ever filled with the Holy Ghost, you had a little voice inside of you that said, you belong to God. You're saved. So anybody that's been born again of God's Spirit, they have the Holy Spirit. Now, they've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we had a good time going through the Scriptures, showing him what the Bible says. And it was just a wonderful tour. And we discussed certain things. He was taught the doctrine of eternal security, that once, you know, unconditional eternal security, that once you're saved, you can't ever lose it. He said, but I had to change my theology because I saw what the Bible says. Now, that's not a whole lot of people that were brought up in church going to a seminary that can change their theology. But if the Bible says it's right, it's right. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. So make sure that whatever you do, whatever you base your theology on, that it comes out of the Word of God. So tonight we have come to Article 5 of the Holy Scriptures. It's important that we review our doctrine in the light of God's Word. I am not interested in what religion or tradition teaches. I am interested in what the Bible teaches. So my subject tonight, the Holy Scriptures. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It is living. It is powerful. Lord, it reveals who you are. It reveals man's state. It reveals the plan of salvation. It reveals how we should live our life, Lord, and then it reveals to us eternity and how we can spend eternity with you, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So tonight, Lord, we ask you for revelational knowledge. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may clearly see what the Word of God tells us about the Holy Scriptures. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at Article 5 of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, and I quote, "We believe in the verbal and plenary, that means the complete or absolute inspiration of the Holy Scriptures." That word plenary, it means that there's nothing to be added, there's nothing to be taken away, that it's complete, it's absolute. "We believe in the verbal and plenary inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, known as the Bible, composed of 66 books divided into two departments, Old and New Testament. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, the full and complete revelation of history and redemption," end of quote. To expound that, we believe the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of God. Hallelujah. "We believe that the Bible is the living, breathing Word of Almighty God that is forever settled in heaven. And it's up to you and it's up to me to declare it, to decree it, and to settle it on earth." Hallelujah. God has given us his word, and he watches over that word to perform it. God is a speaking being. He made us speaking beings so we can speak the word. You can walk around, talk about all your sickness, all your problems, and those things are real, or you can believe God's report and start talking what God says. You can say, "I'm poor and I ain't got nothing," or you can say, "I'm blessed and highly favored of God." Hallelujah. God believes in work. God has principles. And if you apply God's principle, goodness and mercy, they'll follow you everywhere you go. You can waste your money. You can spend it on ungodly things. Or you can use your money wisely, sow your seed into the kingdom of God. Give God something to work with. There's a seed time, harvest time principle. And if you will follow it, praise God, it'll astound you. Miracles will show up in your life. Provision will show up. Hallelujah. Get your seed into some good soil. Become a giver because God loves a cheerful giver. God is a giver. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He planted him. He's the first fruit of the resurrection. Because he lives, we also shall live. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. So how did we get the Bible? That's right, praise him. Where did the Bible come from? Well, it came from God. Look at, let the scriptures speak for themselves. 2 Timothy 3:16. "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That's what the Bible says. There is no scripture in the Bible that is not given by inspiration of God. So we know that the Bible, that God inspired people to write that. So where did we... why do we have the scriptures? Well, the Bible tells us. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. We know that it is profitable. That is profitable for what? It is profitable for doctrine, what you believe, the very thing we're talking about tonight. It is also profitable for reproof. It shows you how to handle the problems of life, how to deal with yourself, and how to deal with others. Because it's impossible, Jesus said, that you will not get offended at some time. So if you get offended, you can either put a wall up and not forgive, or you can choose to forgive as God has forgiven you. All I have to do is go back to Calvary. Think about what Jesus did for me, how much he forgave me of, and I'm just so willing to forgive everybody. Hallelujah. Because we're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities and powers. Amen. So the Bible told, it shows you how to handle the problems of life. It's also profitable for correction. You know, some people, they say, "Well, I have a revelation from God. I had a dream. I had a vision." Well, if it's not in accordance with God's word, then you need to correct what you think about that dream or that vision. Amen. We're thankful for the gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts, they are given by God, but the Scripture, it is given as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And as we follow the Holy Word, then we are walking in the Spirit of God, because the Word is Spirit. Amen. So the Bible is also given for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And the reason for that is because God gave us the Bible to man, and the purpose of him doing that was so we could find our way, the way to salvation, so we could find out how to live our lives, and so we could make heaven our eternal home. Hallelujah. You know, God gave us the Bible. Look at how we got it. 2 Peter 1:21, look at this. This is powerful. For prophecy came not in the old times by the will of man. Man didn't will it, but holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. That's powerful right there. All the prophecy in the old times, it didn't come by the will of man. It came from God. The Spirit of God, by the will of God, spoke to holy men of old, and they recorded the words that God gave them as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every man that wrote a part of the Bible, the Holy Ghost was surging through them at the moment that they wrote those scriptures. That's why we believe the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of God. It is inerrant because it is without error. I've had people, they tried to tell me all types of things, and I said, well, you just haven't read the Bible. You heard somebody say that. My daughter went to college, and she came home and said, the Bible says in one place that Jesus fed 5,000 and plus the men and women. On another place, 4,000 plus the men and women. I said, well, if she would read what the Bible instead of what some commentary said, she realized there were two miracles that took place there. That on one occasion he fed 5,000 plus, and on another occasion he fed 4,000 plus. So, you know, people, they hear things and they begin to make up things that are not according to the Word of God. I just take the Word. I just love the Word because it speaks for itself. Amen. But look at that. The Holy Ghost guarded the Word of truth, and it's without error. Holy men, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now look at John 16:13. This is Jesus preaching here. He said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heareth, that shall he also speak. He will show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost is not an influence. He is a person. He is part of our doctrine that he is the third person of the adorable Godhead. He is a person. He can be grieved. He has feelings. He can be quenched. He can move on you, and you can do exploits in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He came to empower the church. Jesus sent him as a gift to the church. And Jesus said, when he's come, he'll guide you. He'll teach you. And put John 6:63 up there. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The flesh profited nothing. The words I speak unto you, their spirit, their life. See how the Bible is woven together so intricately, so wonderfully, that people surging with scriptural knowledge as the Holy Ghost just moves upon them and through them. The Spirit gives us life. The Spirit quickeneth. Amen. Don't you love the Bible? Hallelujah. Go and praise the Lord. It's God breathed, it's God indwelt, it's God inspired. And his word is forever settled in heaven. So how did we get the Bible? It came from God. Secondly, let's look at the history of the Bible. It covers the history of mankind, and it is written by 40 different authors. Some of these men were kings. Some were statesmen. Some were fishermen. Some were priests. Some were shepherds. Some were just everyday common laborers. But even though 40 different personalities are evident in the writings, there are no contradictions in the Bible. Think about that. From Genesis through the book of Revelation, men live, men died. In their words, they coordinate, they complement, and they agree with all the rest of the Word of God. Now, only God could do that. I mean, have you ever tried to write a thesis, a theme, you know, a term paper? And you write it, and you just tear it all up, and you start over, and you say, that doesn't sound good. Well, you ought to try doing a sermon sometime. Hallelujah. See, holy men wrote as they were moved, but then God inspires men to preach his gospel. And he gives us scripture so we can base our sermons on what the Word of God has to say. Anything that does not agree with the Word of God, I wouldn't give you a nickel for it. You know, any truth that I ever found in the business world, I can take it to the Bible. I sat in meeting after meeting. They sent me to all types of seminars on how to do this and how to do that. And I was sitting there and chuckling. I said, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Any principle that you find in life that works, that brings blessings, it is a biblical-based principle. That's how powerful in living God's Word is. He speaks to people, amen? So even though 40 different authors and different personalities are evident in the Bible, there are no contradictions. Isaiah and David, they did not see Moses until they got to heaven, but their words, they all flowed together. How can that be? It's because all Scripture is given by God. Point number three, the Word of God is a living Word. That means that it is alive. Hallelujah. The Word of God is given from heaven, and it was breathed upon by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He breathes upon his Word. It's full of life. It's full of energy. It's full of power. It's full of anointing. And you can get one word from God, and it'll change your entire direction. One word from God will solve that problem that you're facing. Just one word, one rhema from God, it can change you forever. That's how living and how powerful God's Word is. It's a living, powerful, penetrating Word. Look at this right here. Let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is quick. There's that old English word. When they did the King James Version, they loved that word, quick. It means living. I mean, it's all through the Bible, quick, living, powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Look at this, piercing even to dividing of son of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is nothing in the world that can come down when you're a sinner. Whoosh! Split soul and spirit asunder. And all of a sudden, the Word begins to discern the thought and the intent of your heart. And you begin to say, oh, I'm in sin. I'm lost. Or you can be sitting there with sickness and disease in your body. And the Word of God comes. It splits soul and spirit asunder. And all of a sudden, what your mind is telling you, your spirit says, hey, you're healed. And you just rise up and you take hold of that thing and you pull it out of the spirit world into the natural world. And all of a sudden your body has been quickened or made alive or healed. And you've been blessed by the Spirit of God. Why is that? Because the Word of God, look at it. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing of son of soul and spirit. And the joints and the marrow, it goes right down into the joints, the marrow. Where you can get a cancer patient can get a bone transplant. And that's the life that's in that thing, the marrow, hallelujah. And all of a sudden the cancer goes, why? Because they got good marrow. Well, the Word of God splits soul and spirit, the joints, goes right. If you got arthritis, praise God, jump on that one right there, hallelujah. My joints are healed. I've got my marrow, my bones, Lord, the Word of God, roshamarandaya. It just split it asunder, hallelujah. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm healed by his stripes. I'm more than a conqueror. He always causes me to triumph. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me go on. Woo! Now, God is a God of order. God is a God of structure. And he framed the worlds by the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. You're talking about a living Word. By the Word of God. And things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. Now, God is a speaking being. And he just spoke and said, let there be. And whatever he said, it just came forth, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We understand that God made something out of nothing. He just spoke the worlds into existence. When he said, let there be light, light appeared. When God said, let there be dry land, the dry land appeared. When God said, let the earth bring forth of itself. The Bible says it was so. So God made everything out of nothing except his creative word. Now think about that. Man can change matter, but man cannot create matter. Think about that. But we serve a supernatural God who is not limited by nature. The Bible says he draped the north over an empty place, and he hung the world on nothing. Something from nothing. That ought to baffle the scientific world's mind. God just took and draped the north over an empty place, reached out and took the world and hung it on nothing. I tell you, you're talking about an awesome God that he can take nothing and make something. Woo! That's what he did for me. Glory. He took nothing and made something wonderful out of it. Hallelujah. That's what he did for you. Glory to God. That's the creative power of God's word. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful God. What a loving God. What a creative God. Hallelujah. God made everything out of nothing but his creative word. His word is alive, powerful, living, breathing, inerrant. Hallelujah. You know, man has learned a lot about his natural surroundings. He's been able to harness water, steam, and electricity. He has even been able to split the atom. But man cannot split the soul and the spirit. Philosophy cannot do it. Science cannot do it. Psychology cannot do it. There is only one thing that can split soul and spirit, and that is the everlasting, breathing, powerful, penetrating word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And it belongs to you. All the promises are yes. And the amen is spoken by us to bring glory to God. Every time you find a promise, I talk to people all the time. Well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe that, and I don't believe this. And I said, it's in the Bible. I love to find somebody that their doctrine doesn't agree with mine, and they say, I believe the Bible. I said, okay, well, let's look at what the Bible says. Some people, they're willing to change their mind. Some people, they say, well, I was taught this, and my denomination believes this, and my denomination, I wasn't taught that way. Well, you were taught wrong if it doesn't agree with the word of God, and you just need to get your theology straight, hallelujah. Line it up with the word, amen. There's only one thing that can split soul and spirit, make you a new creation in Christ, that is the word of God, because through the word we learn about Jesus, the word made flesh. The word going to an old rugged cross. The word dying for our sins, taking our place, being crucified, resurrecting, ascending to the Father, sending the Holy Ghost back so we could be saved. Hallelujah. Now, there are natural laws and there are spiritual laws, and mankind is affected by both of them. But until the soul and spirit is split by the word of God and man is regenerated by the power of Calvary's blood, he is forever lost and he is doomed for eternity. Look at Hebrews 4 and 12 again. For the word of God is living, is alive, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing of son of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. It is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So there's only one thing that can split soul and spirit and give you revelational knowledge, and that is the word of God. Come to church. We preach the word here. Pray. Read your Bible. And you will be enlightened. You will receive tremendous revelation. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will reveal all things to you. That's the mission of the Holy Ghost, to reveal things, to give you revelational knowledge. Hallelujah. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, a ruler of the Jews, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means he cannot see into it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You've got to have the Spirit of truth living in your heart because he has applied the blood in Jesus. You were born again. You came out of darkness into the light. And now your spirit is alive unto God and you're able to receive revelational knowledge. Hallelujah. Except a man be born again, he cannot see into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. See, God the Holy Ghost, he speaks to men through the living, breathing, piercing, penetrating Word of God. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost, he moved on men, and they wrote. And I said it earlier, but I like to think about it. These men wrote. There's nothing going to be added to the Scriptures. There were the foundational apostles and prophets. They were foundation. The first 12 apostles that we read about, Jesus in a circle, they were foundational apostles. But there are still people that have apostolic anointings today. They have tremendous giftings. They're able to lay hands on people, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Others can do that. But, you know, when Philip went down to Samaria, they received the word of God, and great joy filled the city. Signs and wonders were taking place, and they, Jerusalem found out that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John down because they had been saved and had been baptized in the name of Jesus. They laid their hands upon them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. So get in a good church where there's apostolic anointing flowing. Hallelujah. Get in the place where there's a multitude of giftings. God has placed gifts in the body. And the church needs to rise up. God is not going to do a whole lot about your problem until you start proclaiming the word of God over your problem. You've got to speak. You've got to speak what God's word says. People are always praying the prayer petition. And I've got sermons on all of that, and I preach them all the time. It's always in order. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock it shall be opened unto you. But Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you start operating in that type of anointing, you'll start seeing things happen. Sickness and disease, they bow to the name of Jesus, but you got to speak the name. Signs and wonders follow those that believe, but you got to speak the word. And if you, this is a living word. And most of the church, they're praying the prayer petition. Oh, God, will you do this? Oh, God, will you do that? Oh, God, please help me. That's always in order. That's in order. But when Peter was at the gate, beautiful, and the man was begging for alms, he said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have what you're asking for, but I got what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't petition the Father. He said, rise. And when he didn't get up quick enough, he lifted him up. The church needs to start operating like that. When Paul in Acts 16 was down in Philippi, and the people there, there was a girl that had a spirit of divination. It was a python spirit that squeezes the life out of something. And followed Paul and his evangelistic team for days. And finally, he just got... She was saying, these men are servants of the Most High. 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 Well, if you hear something like that following you for 3 days, you better know you're dealing with a demon. These men are fair servants of the Most High. These men. And Paul finally got aggravated with it and turned and said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. He didn't pray and ask the Father. He said, I got the power of the name of Jesus. I've got authority to use it. Come out! And he set her free. The church is supposed to operate like that. Hallelujah. Because we've got the word that tells us. Look at what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. But my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I love this. But in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I'm not counting on my abilities when I stand up to preach the word of God. I'm counting on him. I'm counting on the Holy Ghost. Because this is not my career. This is my calling. Business was my career. But God called me to do this. And so I'm not counting on me. I'm counting on him. I'm not counting on the schools I went to and the books I've read and all of it. I'm counting on the Holy Ghost to surge through me. To move through me. There are so many people dying, crying, sighing, broken, fragmented. And they need a Savior. And they need healing. And they need someone anointed. Someone that can bring the power of God. They need a church full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're part of Westmoreland? Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got Pentecostal churches haven't had a sign or one in years. Haven't seen a soul saved. They've got it outside on the door. Find a good church full of God's glory, full of God's power, where the word is preached and connect yourself there and work like you've never worked in your life. There are people counting on you. Hallelujah. So the word of God is God breathed, is God inspired, is God indwelt, and it will bring forth of itself. Now, when I first got saved, I'm brand new, and at 3 a.m. in the morning, God woke me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So I got up, made a head call. It's going to the bathroom. 3 a.m. That's the Marine Corps. Head call. Hallelujah. It's still down in me, okay? And I got back in the bed. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So I couldn't go back to sleep. I got up. I said, well, God, you're talking to me. So I just will get up and find it. And I got in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I went to the beginning. I went all through the Bible. About 45 minutes I searched. I couldn't find it. I mean, I got to go to work the next day. You know, it's not 3 a.m. now. It's almost 4 a.m. I said, God, that's in the Bible somewhere. Where is it? The same voice spoke to me and said, turn to the book of John. I turned to John 1, verse 1. I thought I'd have to go all the way through the book. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The light shined in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. I'm brand new. I'm reading. I said, God, I was taught that in Sunday school. Why would you wake me like that at 3 a.m.? God said, learn my word. And He told me in words I could understand. He said, my word would do what I said it would do. It's a guide for earthly living, and it's a roadmap to eternal salvation. And from that moment to this, I made it my business to memorize the scriptures. But God will talk to you. And I remember the house we live in now. Teresa and I weren't married. And I told her, I said, God spoke to me and said, that's our house. And I said, I'll buy it if you marry me. She said, I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married, Jerry. I said, well, I'll buy it if you're married. She said, well, what makes you think God told you that was your house? I said, it's the same voice that spoke to me and called me out of darkness into His light. I know that voice. And it was the same voice. And they put a soul sign in the yard. Now, I didn't know she was riding by looking at it all this time, you know. She said, I don't want to get married. But she's riding by checking it out. She called me and she said, Jerry, that house is sold. There's a sign in the yard that says sold. I said, I don't care what that sign says. I know what God says. God said, that house is mine if I want it. And I told Him I want it. And if you'll marry me, I'll buy it. Well, make a long story short, finally, the Lord spoke to me one day. The house, nobody moved in. He says, call that man, talk houses in general. So you can hear God if you stay in the scriptures. If you listen to God, He'll talk to you. And if you don't listen to Him, you'll step out and make a mess of stuff. You'll get ahead of God. But if you'll listen and listen for the still voice of the Spirit. What is that voice? It's the same voice that spoke to you. And you were convicted of your sin. And you knew you needed to make things right. It's the same voice. And He will speak to you. He'll talk to you. And so many times we miss God because we miss that voice. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint because they've been led by the Lord. They're not operating in their strength. They're operating in the strength of God. Now, how do you want to operate? In your strength or in God's strength? Certainly you want to operate in God's strength. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember another occasion when I've told all these stories hundreds of times. You know my testimony, but I remember when God spoke to me and I started studying, and someone asked me, he said, will you teach Sunday school? I said, yes, I'll teach it. And it just come up, surged out of my spirit. And when I walked away, this voice spoke to me, said, you don't know anything about the Bible. You can't teach Sunday school. And I got alone, and I prayed, and I asked God about it. And He gave, put Isaiah 41:10. Here's the scripture He gave me. It says, fear thou not, be not dismayed, For I am with thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will bless thee. Yea, if you found it yet. Isaiah 41:10, brother. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I didn't know that the right hand of his righteousness was Jesus Christ. But can you see, the right hand is the hand of strength. Now think about the strength of the resurrected Lord of glory. Think about the strength of Jesus when he said, all power was given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore, make disciples of all nations. Look at the commission he gave you. You've been empowered by the right hand of his majesty on high. Jesus has sent his church into the world to reconcile the world. God took fear out of my heart. I've never known it to this moment. Proof that the Bible is the word of God. I'll just give you this real quickly. First of all, we have prophecies about Christ's birth, that a virgin will conceive and bear a child. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The angelic messenger announced his birth. So they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. But the birth of Christ, it was prophesied. The death of Christ was prophesied. Isaiah, the redemptive chapter says, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes were healed. The resurrection of Christ, it is proof that the Bible is the word of God. Look at John 2:19. Look at this. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years were we in building this temple, without rearing it in 3 days. But this spake he of his body, the temple of his body. That Jesus, he's speaking, you know, about his resurrection. The Bible is just full. These are just some examples. The giving of the Holy Ghost. Joel prophesied it. Look at Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass. I love this one right here. Boy, this is one I prayed over my children over and over and over again. I said, devil, let me tell you something. I didn't raise my children to serve you. I raised my children to prophesy. I raised my children to serve God. Look at this. Second Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass after I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Devil, get your filthy hands off of our children. We didn't raise them to serve you. We have authority. We have power. They shall prophesy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. I'm still a young man because I'm still seeing visions. Hallelujah. I see vision. Brother Elam, I love you. Where are you back there? There he is. He dreams dreams, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's the way the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge operates through him. God will show him things to come in a dream. And God shows me in a vision. I just have open visions sometimes. They don't come every day. Some people think, ooh, no. They come as the Spirit moves upon you. You know, don't get flaky with this thing. Stay balanced in your relationship with God. But the prophecy spoke of the coming of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And point number 5, what does the Bible mean to lost humanity? What does it mean to lost humanity? It reveals the origin, the state, and the destiny of man. Look at Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Or let them master all of life. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the Bible gives us the origin of man. It gives us the state of man. It gives us the destiny of man. We're to have dominion. But man fell into sin. What does that mean to lost humanity? It means that God made a provision for all men to come to repentance. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That God loves everyone. I was talking with a preacher today, and he said, I may have to leave my denomination because they're teaching the Calvinistic approach that only the elect can be saved, that God is predestined who will be and who won't be. But my Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My Bible teaches that it's a universal invitation. God loved the whole world. He gave because he wanted to reconcile the whole world to himself. Hallelujah. God made provision for man. And then the Bible talks about eternity. Look at John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I love this word, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've been out to Brother Ray's and Sister Julia's house, and I knock on the back door, and they come to the door and say, come on in, Pastor. And they welcome me. What are they doing? They're receiving me. To as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. He said, he breathed on them, said, receive you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you gone on into the depths of the Spirit? See the Bible is a revelation of what God has provided for man. It's a living word. And the more you read it, the more you will want to serve him and to love him and to please him. And the more you will see just how deficient you are except for the blood of Jesus. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
All hail King Jesus. All hail.
Hallelujah.